as you can imagine, that's the kind of music I enjoy. And I enjoy music with a little bit of energy to it, a little bit of pep to it. And if you were ever able to see one of the original recordings of that with the quartet, you'd see those guys all over the stage having a great time. That's what I like to do. That's how I like to use my energy. When I can just do what I'm enjoying, I like to sing, I like to make music, and I like to use my energy. So what do you like to do with your energy? Some of you might like to work in your garden or work on your flowers. Some of you, I'm always amazed by this. Some people like to work on their cars. Anybody like to do that? If you have your, yeah. You get some free time, you like to work on your cars. Your energy. Some people like to work around their house. They got projects around their house. But the fact is, when it comes to your natural energy, you have a limited supply. You only have so much energy, and then you're going to get all wore out. Now, maybe that's where you find yourself today. Maybe you're a little wore out because of all the things going on in your life, your work, you're a family. Does family wear you out, Cody? Kind of. That's right. Sunday, and then you got Sunday responsibilities. You got things going on in your life. Just coming to church can be a lot. If you've got a lot of things going on in your life and you're wore out, you may feel burned out. You may feel stressed out. You may even be without energy. And as a preacher, there have been times when I didn't feel much spiritual power. And every preacher that I know will tell you exactly that the same thing has happened to them. I get together a sermon and I've prayed about it and I've sought God and I've researched it, and I believed, and as I prayed and I sought God, I believed I had a sermon that I wanted to preach. And every preacher's done this. And you're excited about it. You're ready to go. You're ready to launch. You're ready to preach this sermon. And you're ready to go. And you come on church on Sunday and you start preaching your sermon and you look out and nobody's interested. Nobody's interested. So it just makes the preacher preach a little more. He's a little more excited. He's a little more animated. He's going to make you interested in the sermon. And then you look out and somebody's asleep. You know, you're like, what happened? And so you get done with the sermon and there's no response, no comments. And you feel disappointed. Where was the spiritual energy? I was preaching something that God wanted me to preach. Why wasn't there any kind of response? Well, it's a common experience most Christians can relate to. They feel a lack of spiritual power. Whether they're teaching or whether they're preaching or whether they're praying or they're serving God, they just don't feel spiritual power. And the fact is, humanly speaking, you can only have so much energy. You can only have so much creativity. If you rely only on your own personal energy, you're only going to have so much. And eventually you're going to get burned out. And you might, in fact, be discouraged because not everybody shares what you're trying to do, the lack of enthusiasm. But what has sustained me over the years is to remember that the power, spiritual power, doesn't come from me. It comes from God. So as we see today, we're going to be looking at the energy of God, His Spirit. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for everyone who believes. And Christians have heard hundreds of sermons on God. They've heard sermons on His works and His attributes. And how many sermons have we heard on Jesus? Recently, I did a whole series of sermons on the life of Christ, on the Gospel of Mark. But there's more. Because God is three persons in one. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. We call this the Trinity. Each member of the Godhead is equally important. They're equally worthy of understanding and praise. But the Holy Spirit doesn't get talked about as much. He's been called the most neglected member of the Trinity, and there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit today. So I want you to imagine if you were not a Christian and you had no knowledge of the Bible and all you had to go on was what you saw on Christian TV and the internet, who would you believe the Holy Spirit was? Well, you would see this power of some kind that knocked people to the ground, leaving them stunned. You would see the Spirit as some kind of power that operates by the swoop of somebody's hand. You know, somebody would touch somebody's head and they would fall out. You would see it as some kind of power where people would be mumbling incoherently, speaking some kind of language not understandable, making people throw their hands in the air, eyes rolled back to the back of their head. You would see it as some kind of power that made people wobble to music or even lose control of their mouth or their body. And all of these behaviors would be described as the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot that can be done when you get together a group, and there's a power of suggestion, there's group expectations, but what you can say is that there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. So that's why the Holy Spirit is avoided today, because people don't want to offend somebody and say something. But the New Testament tells us that the Holy Spirit lives in the Christian. Ephesians 5:18 even commands Christians to be filled with the Spirit. So let me answer a couple questions today. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? So today I'm going to just look at the Bible. We're going to be doing a brief background study on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to jump around, just have your Bibles open, and you can follow along with me. We find the Holy Spirit in the very beginning, the first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He's always been God. He's a separate person. He's still God. Not only was the Holy Spirit always there, but He was involved in creation. Over here in Psalm 33, in verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth." John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Jesus created the world. He spoke the world into existence, and when Jesus spoke, it was the Holy Spirit that created." In the Old Testament, the word for spirit is translated Ruach, Ruach. It literally means power, life force, energy. A third of the times it's used in the Old Testament refers to the Spirit of God. It refers to power or energy of God Himself. The Old English word ghost is not accurate, because a ghost is not real. It's immaterial. The word spirit refers to the violent power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's how He accomplishes His purpose. So when a person's filled with the Holy Spirit, they are filled with the power of God. The Holy Spirit is divine energy. It's great. It's powerful. It's limitless. Now think about this. In the beginning, there was nothing. And then in a split second, everything existed. That's power. But that's not the experience that most of us have when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Because for us, the Holy Spirit is an invisible power. When Jesus was doing His ministry on earth, the Bible says He was filled with the Holy Spirit, He was led by the Spirit, and He was empowered by the Spirit. We read about all the amazing miracles Jesus did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He literally cast demons out of people. He was fully man. But where did Jesus get the power? He was fully God. Look over here in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how we went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. It says God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. The power came from God through the Holy Spirit. So not only did the Holy Spirit empower Jesus, he empowered the disciples. Jesus told his disciples, John 16:7, "It is for your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I will send the Helper," which was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has been working with them already in their teaching and their miracles, but on the day of Pentecost, they received the full measure of the Spirit, complete understanding. The apostles were given spiritual gifts, but the Spirit also gave them divine words to write what we now have, the Scriptures. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So it says the Holy Spirit moved the writers along. The Spirit filled their minds. He overruled their personal opinions. And he had them write a message from God. So after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he told his disciples about the coming of the Spirit. Acts 1:8, he told them, "Before he ascended to heaven, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses." And on the day of Pentecost, the 12 received power. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit, and they preached the first gospel sermon. And Peter was the spokesman. And Peter preached this long sermon about Jesus. Near the end of the sermon, the people interrupted the sermon and said, "What must we do? How do we respond?" And I want you to look here at Acts chapter 2 with me, verses 38 and 39. I know you've heard these verses many times, but I want you to pay very close attention to what it says about the Spirit. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call." So we read on that 3,000 people accepted the message. They turned from their sin. They were baptized. And I want you to notice, not only did they receive the forgiveness of sin, it also says they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live in their hearts, and what a change it brought to the world. The Holy Spirit empowered the early church. There was a supernatural energy in these early Christians. Acts 2:42 says these Christians were busy devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to having communion, to having meals in their homes, devoting themselves to prayer, giving possessions to help each other. They were meeting together for worship. They were serving the Lord, and the church continued to grow. Now, of course, religious leaders tried to stop the church. Two of the disciples, Peter and John, were put in prison, and the Christians gathered together, and they prayed for their release. And when they were done praying, and this is in Acts 4:31, it says, "The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." The church grew, and it kept growing. And it became so big, the 12 couldn't keep up with all the ministry that was happening there. So, they said, "Choose 7 men that we can hand a ministry off to them." But basically, it was the feeding of widows. So I want you to notice in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, they said, "Choose 7 men who are known to be full of the Spirit." So as you see in the book of Acts, the history of the church, you'll see that nothing could stop the church. They were operating in the power of the Spirit. So you may be thinking, well, this is a nice history lesson. What does this have to do with me? And that's our second question. How does the Holy Spirit work in my life? Remember a couple years ago when we had our pandemic and everything was shut down. Remember this? And we couldn't go anywhere. And we were afraid to go to the grocery store. Remember this? Everybody was terrified. And we were all stuck at home. And everybody was doing all those tasks that had been, you know, building up and doing everything. And I was stuck too. I was stuck at home. And did not have cable. Because I travel all the time. I'm not going to justify spending money on cable. And so now I'm stuck at home, can't go anywhere, and have no cable. So I start looking at my phone and all the different features in my phone. And I discover my hotspot. I'd heard about hotspots before. I never tried a hotspot before. So I thought, might as well give it a try. What else am I going to do, you know, as we're sitting around? And I used my hotspot, figured out how to do it. And surprise, I had this unseen power in my phone. Yeah. Hotspot basically uses your data, and it creates a Wi-Fi. And so you can operate your laptop, or you can watch movies on TV, and that's what I did. Now, as you know, we live in the country. Hotspots are not that great around here, are they? They're not really that powerful, but if you get it at the right time of the month, you can watch movies and everything. So I discovered this hotspot feature on my phone. It was there all the time, but I had never used it. That's not that great, but it does provide help watching movies every now and then. But I say this because when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you turned from your sin, you were baptized, you received the Holy Spirit. He is living in you. And His power is available to you. The same kind of power that the Holy Spirit, that the early Christians experienced. You don't have to come up with all the energy, and you don't have to come up with all the creativity. You don't have to have the best technology. And one of the biggest lies that people are telling today is that the only good church is one that's new and modern and has the best technology. That's not true. God's Spirit was working right here, and they didn't even have smartphones. You don't have to have the best technology. God has given us all the power we need by His Spirit that's living in us. So we're going to look just briefly at Romans chapter 8. This is a whole chapter on the Holy Spirit and how He works. So let me give you some ways that the Holy Spirit works in your life. One way the Holy Spirit works is that He gives us spiritual life. So we're going to look in Romans chapter 8. If you'll just hold that open, we're just going to look at several scriptures in this. Romans 8, starting with verse 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of death. Before we accepted Jesus, we were dead to sin. Somebody described it this way: we were dead men walking. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, when He came to live in our hearts, not only did Jesus die for us on the cross, He paid the price for sin, the Holy Spirit, the first work that He did was that He came into our heart and He made us alive. The second way the Spirit works is He enables us to live the Christian life. Look at verses 8 and 9. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You cannot, on your own, through human efforts, live the Christian life, because you can't be good enough. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot be holy enough. But the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He teaches us to overcome ignorance. He gives us strength in our weakness. He exposes our prejudice. He actually rescues us from sin and temptation. Verse 13 in our chapter here says, the Spirit puts to death sin in the body. So if you have God's Spirit living in your heart, you have God's power to live the Christian life. He's working in you. He's producing love in your heart. He's producing joy in you. He's producing patience in you. And He's also rooting sin out of your life. The third way the Spirit works is He extends our heavenly inheritance. And this is in verses 15 and 16. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we call Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Even though we're not God's original chosen people, the Jews, we've been adopted in. God is our Father. The Spirit is the one that accomplished this. We became God's children. Now, we cannot do this on our own. Now, some of the biggest family fights that I've seen have been over inheritances. How many of you know of a family that got into a big old fight about an inheritance? This is a big thing, even in Christian families. And there's been prolonged court battles over who's going to get what and all this stuff. I remember in my own family, we had a family member who will remain unnamed that decided that she was going to go through her mom's precious moment collection. I've got a little precious. Now, happens to be, I know the family member very well. She happened to love Elvis, and I'm pretty sure she probably had this precious moment. But anyway, her daughter decided to open this cabinet up, and she went through all of the precious moments and had a piece of tape and wrote on the bottom of those precious moments which one she wanted. Now, her mom was in good health. This happened many years ago. Her mom was very young, still pretty young. And you can imagine. And then she went to her mom and said, "I've already picked out which precious moments I want when you die." Well, this did not go over very well to her sister, who also wanted some precious moment things. And it didn't go over too well with the mom, who was the one, because that's the point, right? The mother was the one that determined the inheritance. Well, my friends, we don't choose heaven. We don't just say, I'm going to heaven. And we don't earn our way to heaven. The Spirit makes our inheritance sure. The Christian life is not something you accomplish by your efforts. No, you find your strength and power by God's Spirit. Now, next week we'll see how the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So, Christians, we have the power by the Holy Spirit to have spiritual life. He gave us spiritual life when we were dead to sin. He's the one that enables us to live the Christian life, and He gives us the assurance of our heavenly inheritance. So, do you find yourself out of energy? Do you find yourself trying to do everything on your own, like you have no strength? You have strength available. You have spiritual power available from God's Spirit. His power is working in you if you only be aware of it. Well, there's one more thing that the Spirit does, which I want to mention. When we come to the end of our life and we leave these bodies behind. And by the way, how many of you are ready to leave your body behind? Yes. Cody, you're way too young for that, man. Okay, that's not good. When we get rid of our bodies, when they reach to the point where they have outlived their usefulness, and we're going to die, and we're going to leave these bodies behind. We're going to leave these shells behind. Romans 8:11 says that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body. Now that is power. When Jesus was in the tomb, He didn't just raise Himself back to life. It was the power of the Spirit that raised Him to life. And so when the time comes, when Jesus returns, and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to receive a new body, that is going to happen by the power of the Spirit. So Christians, remember this. You have all the power you need if you will just trust Him and you'll just rely on Him. Let me pray. Dear Lord, may You give us power by Your Spirit to live the Christian life. May You bless our church. May we be a church that is filled with Your Spirit. And Lord, to anyone here that is feeling weak and discouraged, may they find their strength and their power in You. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be singing an old song, Spirit of the Living God. And let's all stand. And if you have a decision, we invite you to make that today.